Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. Or wherever it is that you get podcasts from, we appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you aren't in Starkville, if you aren't in Tupelo, that's not a problem. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. Do you not feel comfortable just like yelling beef in your mom's house there?
You know, she's actually not here. I could have gone
strong on that one. You want to try it again?
Yeah. Let's try
it. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
that's what's for dinner.
What a one,
yeah. There you go. That's what's going to be for dinner tonight in the Haydad household. We're just doing some pasta tonight, but hey, there's beef in that. That's all you got to have. So
make everything better.
It does. It's like beef and butter, and you don't need anything else. Yeah. If you're going to enjoy a great weeknight meal, make beef the star of the show. Easy to cook, fits into any recipe, and so many great options for you out there. If you need recipes, they've got them at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, it's available at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, ridden by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. We're getting closer and closer to the start of football season. Going to be time to get some new gear. Get it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name. Not just by your account number, bankers that are going to show you a level of respect and service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got to issue an apology, retraction, correction, but we did flat out miss an NHL team named after a bird yesterday.
Who was?
The Ducks.
Oh, my gosh. We're stupid.
Somebody tweeted at us, and I was like, ah, yeah, you're right. The Ducks was, but there wasn't another one, right? The Penguins, the Ducks and the Penguins.
Yeah.
The Ducks and the Penguins. This is why, though, because you think like bird mascot, you're like Eagles or Falcons, you know, and you get Ducks and Penguins. Yeah. Like, I get it.
It's like a B tier bird. Like, what do they even do?
Well, Penguins don't do anything. They're just down there existing.
Okay. Sidney Crosby, nice.
I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins are great. They have a long lineage of championship hockey, but actual Penguins, I mean, you can't even eat them.
What do they even do?
Yeah, you at least eat a duck. Go duck hunting.
You can. It doesn't mean you have to.
Duck is good. Duck is on like fine three-star Michelin restaurant menus.
No, I tried it, and I felt so bad because these people gave it to me, and I was like, one bite of it, and I was like, ooh, I don't.
You had a very unsophisticated
in front of them. I finished in front of them, though, because I wasn't going to be that guy.
Yeah, no, I get it. I hope you remember that when I feed you some alligator.
You're not going to QB sneak me with this alligator.
It's going to happen. I'm not even going to QB sneak you, but that's what this is, and you're going to eat it.
No. The only way you're going to get me is QB sneak it. And if I like it, then I will shut up. But
yeah, we'll see where it goes. All right, we got a lot to do today. We got to catch up on the SEC previews. We got the Tennessee Volunteers a little later. We got an opponent preview today. The LSU Tigers is where we're at. New guy on the podcast. Don't you dare. New guy on the podcast here with us, John Blau of the Advocate down in Baton Rouge. He took over for our friend Wilson Alexander. He'll join us just a little later. But, you know, just summertime content here. I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, not the one about Caleb Wilson.
Have you yet?
I have not yet. I need to find. I need to.
At least?
I know what he said.
Okay, yeah.
But I have not heard the clip yet.
Oh, it's good. You
I need to do
should.
that. So, and he likes to do redrafts. He'll go into like the NBA and the NFL and do a redraft. And I was like, how can I do this with college football? You can't draft, right? It's got to be about recruiting. So I decided, I guess this is not technically 10 years because it would be the class of 2017, but we would be talking about, which I could have done as well. That's an interesting class here in the state. But I decided to go with the 2016 class because I don't know that in this state we've ever had a class that had three guys like this one in it. And so let's just look at it here. So if you're playing along at home, I'm using 24/7's rankings just because 24/7 has been around longer than On3. I don't know how accurate the On3 rankings are going to be for, 11 years ago. Number one player in the state that year was Jeff Simmons. Number two was AJ Brown. Number three was Benito Jones. Number four was Nigel Knott. That's the first real blast from the past. That's probably a guy you haven't thought about lately. Raekwon Davis was the fifth ranked player in the state. DK Metcalf was the sixth ranked player. Octavius Cooley, who I have a, there's a great story about Octavius Cooley. So Ole Miss plays the Peach Bowl in 2014, right? They get absolutely murdered by TCU. I mean, it was 42-3.
Oh.
They got destroyed. TCU was so pissed about not being in the college football playoff, they took all of their frustration out on Ole Miss and destroyed them. I give it to Ole Miss. Nobody can spin a bad situation, can take a sad song and make it better than the Ole Miss Rebels. Within an hour of them losing that game, this kid committed to Ole Miss, four-star tight end, the number seven player in the state. I was like, they had that one in the pan already. They were just waiting. They're like, let's throw this out there, give our fans something to be happy about. So,
Awesome.
Scott Lashley, the number eight player in the state. Number nine was Kobe Jones, and the number 10 player in the state was Marquis Spencer. You had 10 four-star players. These are 24/7's rankings, not the composite, just the 24. Can I do the composite? How different is it if I go that route? If I go that route, is it all the same players? It's all the same players, just a little different on the rankings. And on that one, Simmons and Benito Jones are both five-star players. Simmons still the number one player in the state. Benito Jones number two, AJ Brown number three. So I thought we'd do a re-rank. We'll look at this class and who's the top guys who actually had a good college football career.
We're just talking college, not professional.
Yeah, I'm not gonna worry about the pro stuff.
Okay.
Although, one thing they tell you is that five-star players should be first round picks. That's how they look at this.
Yeah.
So, from that perspective, Benito Jones, who we'll talk about, was a very solid college football player. He's a good college football player. But was he an NFL first round pick? He was not. He was not. So I'm gonna do an honorable mention because I didn't know anything about this guy until last night when I was doing the research. But I'm going to give an honorable mention here to Alan Lamar. Now if you're listening to this name, either you know him and you're like, "Oh my God, I haven't thought about that guy in 10 years," or you're like, "Who?" Which was what I was. Alan Lamar was the number 46 ranked player in the state out of DeSoto Central High School, two-star running back. He committed to Yale, signed with Yale. Two-time All Ivy League. Then his senior year, as a graduate, so he got a degree from Yale. That counts for something, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Got a degree from Yale, transferred to Arkansas State for his graduate transfer year, and was a third-team All-American kick returner for the Red Wolves. I'm putting him on honorable mention.
He deserves it. Two
Yeah.
star means you worked your butt off to get to where you are,
I
man.
mean, and plus he went to Yale. I think that's just impressive
Hey,
in and of
he's a degree
itself.
from Yale, so he's not the he's got something on
I'm
his.
sure he's doing fine. I couldn't find anything about him post football. The only guy I found anything about post football about that I was interested in was the number 24 player in the state, an offensive lineman named Gentle Williams, went to Cal, got a degree from Cal. Now he's the vice president of some acquisition firm. I'm like, congrats, buddy. You did the right thing.
It's another good
So,
school.
got to be interesting though. He comes into these things. He's 6'4" and 200 and some odd pounds, and just looks like a like yes, sir, whatever you say, we'll do it. An offensive lineman named Gentle too is kind of fun. All
Yeah, that was funny.
right, top 10. This is the new top 10. We're re-ranking here. All right, number 10, guy by the name of, hold on, I had it pulled up, Jacque Turner. You're asking yourself again. You're like, who? If you're a fan of Southern Mississippi, you know who this guy is. Jacque Turner was rated as the, where'd you go, Jacque?
38.
38, is that right?
Yeah,
number 38 player.
So, yeah.
Yeah, number 38 player in the state in 2016. This guy was really, really good at Southern Miss. Like, really solid. Transferred to Louisville his senior year, and he looks like a guy who should have stayed at the Group of Five level because it just didn't work out for him as well. But in 3 years at USM, 2017, 2018, 2019, played in 37 games, had 30 tackles for a loss, and 14 and a half sacks. Was a pretty good player for the Golden Eagles, right? Had, as a freshman, seven tackles, four sacks, seven tackles for a loss, I should say. And then double digits, 10 tackles for a loss and five sacks as a sophomore, 13 tackles for a loss and five and a half sacks as a junior. Then transferred in 2021 to Louisville and didn't really do anything. Only had one and a half tackles for loss and one sack. Probably should have stayed at Southern Miss. Could have finished out his career there and, you know, been known as one of the all-time great Golden Eagle defenders. I've got him at number 10, though. That's our number 10 guy. I literally have no memory of this player whatsoever. I'm sure if some of our USM fans are listening, if my buddy Luke Johnson is listening, I may just hit up Luke later and just be like, hey, tell me about this guy. I don't remember him at all. We got another Golden Eagle at number 9, and that's Jacque Abraham. Jacque Abraham was the starting quarterback for the Golden Eagles for a couple of seasons. Ended up at Mississippi State coming up here, Mike Leach's second year. And I really and truly have believed throughout this that had he not gotten hurt in the spring, I think he might have challenged for the starting job against Will Rogers. I really do think that. I think that he could have done that. Abraham was the number 32 player in the state his senior year. Obviously, it was with Oxford. I believe they lost in the state championship game to Starkville that year. Of course, he's thrown to DK Metcalf, so that's a big plus for him. But his career at USM is good. Threw for over 7,000 yards, 41 touchdowns to 31 interceptions. Completed 69% of his passes.
Nice. Nice. I get that one.
Yeah, there you go. Finished off his career at Missouri, but injuries just took him away. I really do think that if he had not gotten hurt at Mississippi State, he was going to at least push Will Rogers for that starting job in 2021. But if we're talking about doing a re-rank, I think he's got to be right there. He's the number 9 player when we talk about all time at whatever school you want to talk about. So we're going Jacque Abraham there. I got a debate here. I'm going to see if I can. I need to find this guy's stats, but. No, I feel well. No, I feel good. I feel good about where I am. All right, number 8. We're gonna have a little run on Bulldogs here. Number 8 player in the state this year in the re-rank is Greg Island. Greg Island, multi-year starter for Mississippi State on the offensive line, ends up. He's the number 22 player in the state coming out of high school out of Philadelphia, Mississippi. Ends up playing in some practice squad stuff in the NFL, but as a college offensive lineman, he was okay. He was pretty good. I mean, by the way, it should tell you something about what I'm saying with this class, that pretty good and okay gets you to be the 8th best player in this class. Like, there were some heavily overrated guys in this class, which is a debate I've had with Mississippi talent. Like, there's usually a couple of guys that are rated highly and they perform. That usually happens, but there are so many 4-star and higher guys that they did. It just never works out for them for whatever reason. I don't know why that is. I'm sure if you look at Texas, I mean, they have so many 4-star guys over there. They can't all pan out, but well, it really is something in Mississippi.
I think part of that could be like if these 4-star guys, you know, I mean, Caleb Cunningham's a great example. He's an all-star in high school, but he didn't see the field last year at Ole Miss. Granted, they had a pretty deep wide receiver room, and this year will be his time to shine. But he was in 3A football as well. So, I mean, you got to take it with maybe a grain of salt. Like, these guys are 4-star guys. I mean, Suntarian Perkins is the complete opposite of that, though. He was in 2A, and now he's, I mean, he did everything there.
Yeah.
But if you're playing in the lower divisions and you're ranked that high, then, I mean, I
He
feel like
should have video game numbers. Like,
maybe you should have a little bit more pressure to perform because you're not playing the 7A, the 6A, 5A.
right. If Mississippi State signs a running back from a 1A school, he better be over 2,000 yards rushing.
Have you seen that guy? He's in the southern part of the state. He had like,
Ty Keyes?
yes. Oh my gosh.
He's
His
committed to
stats,
Miami. Yeah.
unbelievable.
Well, he
Yeah.
had that one game where he rushed for 500 yards and six
Like,
touchdowns. I
on like
mean,
12 carries or something.
what's so funny about Ty Keyes is we're just, what, 5 years removed from there being another player named Ty Keyes down in South Mississippi who ended up signing. He was a quarterback. He signed with, I believe, Tulane out of high school.
Oh,
But
wow.
it's like when I heard there was a kid named Ty Keyes, I'm like, what? Is he?
His
And he was
name is
the first Ty Keyes was at Taylorsville. I was like, is he at Taylorsville? He's like, no,
he's at
he's at
Poplarville.
Poplarville. And I'm like, what's going on down there? So yeah.
I've kid play. He's ridiculous.
Number eight, Greg Island. All right, another Bulldog here at number seven. I'm gonna go Cobie Jones. So Cobie Jones is the first guy who was ranked in the top 10 to be on our list here. He was the ninth best player in the state. I've moved him up to eighth. Say what you want about Cobie Jones. And of course, he was a big part of the Leo Lewis saga of recruiting, and his name was thrown out by Ole Miss. And people with sources said that he was going to be ineligible. It never was. He never missed a game. Was a what a 3-year starter for Mississippi State. Got a little run in the NFL with the Falcons. Just a good college football player. Not a great college football player by any means. Not a superstar. Not a huge difference maker. But somebody you could pencil into the starting lineup, and you felt okay about him being out there. So we'll bump him up a spot to number eight. Number seven, we'll bump up Marquis Spencer from where was he? 10?
10.
Yeah, from 10 to 7. Another guy, multi-year starter for Mississippi State. I thought he was a really good player from State. You never got to talk to him. He literally never did an interview at Mississippi State. Not one. Not when
No.
people would request him, he would just go out the back door. You couldn't get the guy to talk.
Is he
I
just
don't know
shy?
what that was about, but
Was he just shy or what?
I guess, yeah. But here's a guy who was actually drafted into the NFL, seventh round pick of the Broncos. Good player at Mississippi State. I don't think he was ever an all SEC guy or anything like that. But again, that's where we are here. The numbers, what, sixth player on our draft here is just, a
A
good
draft
college football
pick
player.
and a draft pick.
He got a draft pick. So I went with him for number six. All right. Number five is where I'm going to bump Benito Jones down to. Benito Jones was, what, a 3-year starter for Ole Miss. Undrafted free agent, but he is still in the NFL. So we give him a little credit for that. I know we said we weren't going to do college pro, but you got to give a little credit there. In terms of, being the number three, he is the number seven defensive tackle in the country his senior year. Here are the other guys that were ranked ahead of him. All right. Rashawn Gary was number one that year.
He's the highest rated high school prospect I think
He was
ever.
the number one player in the country that year.
Yeah.
But he was in a, yeah. He visited Ole Miss. They thought they had him. They did not, but they thought they did. This is peak Hugh Freeze throwing money around. This is the peak of it right here. Number two was Dexter Lawrence. He's in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Number three is Derrick Brown. I see him twice a year with the Panthers. He's a great player.
Oh, you see him? You line up against him?
I see him against my team. I could at least get in his way for like a half second,
Like the store
Number
or
four is Ed Oliver. I mean, this is a stacked class. Number five is Rashard Lawrence. Number six is Ed Alexander. Alexander might be the one where, it didn't really pan out as much as you wanted him to. And then number seven was Benito Jones. So hold on then. That's got me curious. What did they list Jeff Simmons as? A defensive end? My internet wants to go slow all of a sudden. What are we doing here?
Oh, he should be ahead of at least Jones. What are
Okay,
they?
they listed Jones as a defensive end.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay, which is, not the case. They listed Cobie Jones as an offensive guard. What? Anyway, Benito Jones, number four on our number five, I'm sorry, number five on our list. Number four, I went with, I mean, he didn't, I guess he didn't move, and that's Raekwon Davis. One of the most, he was fifth, I'm sorry, so he bumps up a spot. One of the most unusual recruitments that I could ever remember. Committed to state for approximately 45 seconds. Like, tweeted out that he was committed, and then immediately tweeted out, I'm not committed. And basically that he had people in Meridian who were kind of pushing him towards Alabama. Meridian, despite being in Mississippi, is there's a lot of Alabama influence down there. But it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, he's coming to Mississippi State. And he didn't. And I've always thought about like that 2018 defense with Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons could have had Raekwon Davis on it. Like, literally, it would have been impossible to run the football on Mississippi State with those three guys running the show. But a really good college football player, second round pick of the Dolphins. So I think what a 2 or 3 year starter for what is that? When you're a 2 or 3 year starter for Alabama at this time, that's
Let's
a good
go.
college football player.
Yeah.
But we'll put him in at number five. All right, I'm sorry, number four. Number three. Now we're the last three on this list are legitimate superstar players. They were great in college. They've been great pros. How do I want to rank them? I'll
Miss them.
probably get some homer stuff, but it is what it is. I went DK Metcalf third
Okay.
because it's between him and AJ Brown. And I feel like AJ Brown had a better college career because DK was hurt twice in his college career. He didn't have, I think if DK had been healthy, he might have had a better career than AJ Brown, but he wasn't. It's just as simple as that. But he had a really great sophomore year, ends up being a second round pick. What a physical freak of nature this guy is. Maybe the biggest, strongest wide receiver in the game right now. I put him first, and then I went AJ Brown second. Great college football player, had a long, illustrious career at Ole Miss, left school as their all-time leading receiver. He may still be. I don't know if he is or not. Obviously, a second round pick, has won a Super Bowl. Really good football player. You can't, his recruitment is one that I remember because, he complained that Mullen didn't come to see him enough when one of his teammates committed to Mississippi State and Kobe Jones. I'm like, there's no way he came to see Kobe Jones and didn't go see AJ Brown. He just didn't want to go to Mississippi State. I've always felt AJ Brown's career is a big what if. Like, the biggest game he played in 3 years at Ole Miss was the 2017 Egg Bowl. Like, that's not a big game. His best season there was his sophomore year there when they finished 6-6. This is a guy who could have played at Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and played and made a difference in big time college football games. But went to Ole Miss. I'm sure, I don't know if he has any regrets or not, but I would have liked to have seen AJ Brown out there in games that mattered, is how I would put it.
I can't believe State didn't throw the house at him. I
State
mean,
did everything they wanted to do, but he did not want to go to Mississippi State. He just didn't want to go to Mississippi State.
crazy because it's his hometown, but
Well, I mean, some kids, I get it. They want to get out of town, but at the same time, he and Mullen, I just don't think got along. And simple as that. And he wanted, and I'm sure that, like I said, this is PQ Freeze era, so I'm sure something happened there, but it is what it is. So my number one guy is Jeff Simmons. I mean, I can't really argue with it. In terms of his college career, one of the best defensive linemen in the country, his sophomore and junior seasons, first round pick. All SEC, all American, part of the number one defense, probably the focal point of the number one defense in college football, his junior year in 2018. You just can't argue. And now he's the highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL. I feel really good. Now look, if you wanted to switch these guys up, if you wanted to make AJ Brown first and Simmons second, if you want to put DK first, and I wouldn't argue too hard against any of these. But that's the way I'm gonna rank him. I think Simmons deserves to be first. I think he had the best college career out of all of them. I think that, he was the best player on his team. I think that he was, I consider him to be the greatest player in Mississippi State history. End of statement. And that's just, so I'm gonna rank him there. So in reality, you got what? You got 10 guys here who were at least good college football players, but man. Some, I mean, of your again, of your top 10, Nigel Knott never did anything in college. Scott Lashley didn't do anything over at Alabama. He transferred to Mississippi State and became a starter here, but now he's actually a trainer. He trains guys for football. Octavius Cooley, I had no memory of him doing anything at Ole Miss that stands out. Would have, I mean, for a program that's always had pretty good tight ends over the last 5, 10 years. He's not one that stands out for me. So some big misses in there. But the top three guys, I mean, I don't know that Mississippi has ever had a top three of guys who have, I mean, they've all been Pro Bowlers.
All been bona fide superstars in the league.
Yeah.
It's crazy how A.J. Brown and DK were almost on like the same path in high school. Then they go to, you know, Ole Miss together. And what I think, like, you've heard the stories of them like competing against each other in like the weight rooms and everything.
That's
and
one thing I always heard too, is that AJ and DK didn't get along in high school because one was at Starkville, one was at Oxford. They didn't like each other, but so they ended up being college teammates, and I'm sure they're great friends now. But it's funny how some of that stuff works. But I mean, I'm just, you know, just if you look at, you know, we'll just, 2015 is an interesting one because you got a lot of busts in that top 10.
Yeah, let me look at this one real quick.
Yeah, 2015, like the top. It doesn't buy the whole country if you just click on 2015.
Oh shoot, yeah, I gotta. How do you?
You gotta go up into the bar there. But like, if you look at 2015, goodness gracious, man! In the top 10, is there one guy in the top 10 that's been a good player in the NFL? There is not.
I don't know any of those guys.
The number 12 guy is the best player, and that's Jonathan Abram, first-round pick at least.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go down even further. I mean, there's just – this was a rough year. And, again, this was a year in Mississippi. I remember people talking about this class saying this is going to be one of the best groups ever because you had a five-star, and then you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more four-stars.
What did Javon Patterson do at Ole Miss?
Like, he was a good player for them. He was a solid 2 or 3 year starter. He had a little run in the NFL. He works there now. I think he's one of their athletic director, you know, kind of guys. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I believe he works for them now. But he was a good player. But was he a five star guy at the end of his college career? No, I would say no. 2017, you've got two guys at the top there that are legit. Cam Akers and Willie Gay. Those are guys who've played in the NFL. They had good college careers. Gay's career is kind of marred by the academic scandal he was embroiled in his junior year. But, I mean, guy was a second-round pick and played a lot of football in the NFL. Who's the third best guy in that class? So let's look. The first guy that stands out is Kylan Hill, who had a really good college career, but it ended poorly.
NFL career was tough.
It was very short, yeah. Ben Brown is still in the NFL, played for Ole Miss. He's still in the NFL. I'm trying to see if there's a name that, like, stands out to me that everybody just kind of missed on.
Ty Freifogel went to Indiana. He was he was Michael Penix's, I believe he was leading receiver the last two seasons he was there. He was a great player for IU. I remember my freshman year, they beat Penn State on the dive and everything. People were like, because him and Watt Fillier were the number one and two for Michael Penix. They were balling. He had a stint in the NFL. I would probably put him up there as well. Was one of the best players because he was on training camp rosters. He was in preseason. He was good. I do remember him very well.
There's two guys here in the top top 37 players that are already dead. That's rough.
Whoa.
Dede Bowie and Tekion Reed. Both passed away. That's rough. That's really bad. Anyway, we might do a few more of these. I thought it's just interesting to look back at some of these guys and you know, some of the guys that missed. And then, you know, I was kind of hoping to find one that, like, they really missed on, because there are some of those certainly in the state of Mississippi. Elton Jenkins is the one that pops out to me immediately. Nobody recruited that guy except for Mississippi State. Now he's one of the best offensive linemen. Another one is Kenneth Gainwell from Yazoo City, who's now one of the better running backs in the NFL. So, you know, we have these hidden gems every now and then. But 16, those three guys really stand out to me. So, all right, let's do an SEC preview here, and then we'll go to the break. Tennessee, you got the schedule pulled up?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna pull up your actual. I got your thing here, and I'm gonna see if it matches. If you match what you wrote down, so let's do that. All right, Tennessee. Probably starting a true freshman at quarterback when it gets right down to it. Number one quarterback in the country. So that's a good start, but we'll see. All right, they're host Furman week one. That'll be a W. Then they're at Georgia Tech. And that game is being played on campus at Georgia Tech at Bobby Dodd Stadium. I've been there once. I love Brent Key, one of my favorite coaches in college football over there at Georgia Tech. What do you think? What do you think? What do you have? Well, first off, tell me what you think now, and then I'll tell you what you had written down.
I have them winning. I know I
Okay.
didn't have that, but
You do have them winning.
hard to bet on hard to bet against Alberto Mendoza as a joke. I think they're going to win. They're the better program. They've been very consistent recently. I know they're starting a new quarterback. I feel confident in them getting that one.
I have them losing this game.
Oh.
On the road, I just feel like Brent Key and that program, they're going to be very physical. I think Tennessee loses this one. I think it's an early defeat for the Volunteers.
Okay. You know, this one could go either way. I think this will be a close game
For sure.
regardless.
All right, Kennesaw State's a win. Then
Yeah.
they host Texas for the first time ever. That's a
No.
loss. That's a loss.
But I can see that game being harder than people think, especially if they're 3-0, because they've never played at Neyland. But I still think Texas wins.
If they're 3-0, it's a difference. It may be a little different story for sure. 2-1 is, yeah. Then they host Auburn. I think they can beat the Tigers.
I agree.
Make sure you're still here. Yeah. Then they're at Arkansas. I think they'll get that one.
Yep.
All right. And it's the third Saturday in October, and it actually is the third Saturday in October. Thank you to the schedule makers for keeping that one where it belongs. They will host Alabama. Say no.
What is Alabama's? Oh, wait, no, that's Georgia's record against Tennessee. They're 7-0 since 2017. I still think the Tide get it done.
Yeah,
It's
me
a
too.
I love watching that game every year,
Oh,
though.
it's one of the best. Yeah.
Great game.
The visuals out of that win a couple years ago
Oh.
where the stadium's orange and the cigar smoke is just wafting over the
The fireworks and everything.
yeah, it's
Oh,
fantastic. What a
people.
crazy game. Now, I remember that with he kicks the field goal and it was such a knuckleball.
Oh, it
And I
was
was just
like.
like, "Oh God, he screwed up," and it went through. I was like, "That's unbelievable."
Yeah. That...
Then they're at South Carolina, are the Tennessee Volunteers. I have that as a win.
I do as well.
You do as well. So you've got them at this point at 5-2, and I've got them 4-3. Is that right?
You
One,
have them losing
three,
to Tech.
four. No, I have them five. Is that 8 weeks in? I have them 5-3, and you have them 6-2. All
Okay.
right.
Ooh. Okay.
So then, let's finish up the season. They host Kentucky. I think they can get a win there.
Yeah.
Then they are at Texas A&M. That's gonna be a tough one. I don't really know what to make of A&M. Is there a quarterback? Is there a quarterback? Is there a How should I put this? Is there a quarterback who had a good statistical season last year
People
and
are
took his
doubting.
team to the playoffs that I believe in less than Marcell Reed? There isn't. So I think they'll win though. I think Texas A&M will win. So we'll give them a loss there. They host LSU. Kiffin comes back. I think the Tigers win that one.
Yeah.
And then they're at Vanderbilt to finish the year. I give them a win. I've got them 7-5, and you've got them 8-4.
What
They'll
do I
be
have?
happier with you.
What do I have on my sheet?
8-4.
Okay.
So you held true to your predictions there.
Okay.
All right. Very good. We'll get Texas out of the way next week. That one will go quick. I'll just go, at least for me. I don't know about Carlo. Carlo, the
We
non-Texas
already had
believer.
this debate, and then I did it, and then.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So that's one of
so.
those things you're like, they're not going to be very good. And then you look at their schedule, like, wait a minute. You're going
I mean,
to win
they
10
will play
games in their
some hard games.
sleep.
They will play some hard games, but they
They
should
will.
win.
They will. They will. All right, let's move into the last part of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. If you are trying to get a great lunch or a great dinner here in Starkville, a trip to the Cotton District will get you there. Either at Two Brothers or at the Older Brother. And of course, as we get closer to football season, no better game day stop than Two Brothers Smoked Meats. If you're on the way to the game or if you're coming back after the game, Two Brothers Smoked Meats is the way to go. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business System. They've been doing it for over 50 years. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's Dave McNamara just tweeted. Luka Doncic is hosting the entire Los Angeles Lakers roster in Slovenia for a 4-day mini camp in August. He took the whole team to Slovenia. Fantastic.
All right.
So there's going to be workouts, golf, and some tourism. Okay.
Why not?
Why not? Anyway. Also, when I say, why not? Why not get work with a Mississippi company like Advantage Business Systems. If you need what? You got to tie these things
That
back
was
together.
corny, but it was, just go. You're good.
Saying. You got to work with a Mississippi company. People who can take care of you because they're in Mississippi. If you got a problem and you call one of these, other big firms, you're like, "Oh, well, we can be there in like a week to 10 days." Imagine if your copier was down for a week to 10 days. How does your business survive? You can't do it. Talk to our friends at Advantage Business Systems. They will get you taken care of. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., that's the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville? Nobody with a bigger or better or wider or more unique selection than our friends over at Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, Maroon & White, they've got it. So if you're coming to Starkville for the game or for any other reason, go see our friends at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off the regular price. You can save that in-store or online at maroonandco.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. Apparently, somebody stole some boots from Scruggs. The guy came in wearing jeans and sandals, goes and tries on a pair of boots, and then walks out with the boots on. I saw the pictures on Facebook. Just left the sandals in the box. So here's what I'm trying to figure out. So he walked out with boots with no socks on? That had to be rough. Pair of like Cayman boots.
Imagine if he wasn't wearing jeans.
Oh, I think it would have been more noticeable at that point, though.
Oh, I
So,
don't know. I see that around, man.
if you have any information, please let Scruggs know. They just want to get him his sandals back. That's all they said. They just want to make just get him his
Nothing
sandals back.
else.
Nothing
Was it
else.
like cowboy boots or like?
Oh, yeah, like Caymans, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay,
Yeah.
then. Those are not cheap.
So, somebody said the guy looked like me, and I was like, I only wear ostrich. I would never
Own a
wear.
pair of boots like
I
that?
don't own a pair of cowboy boots, no. I wouldn't know what to do with those, man.
I have two, and I'm from the Midwest, and you don't have any.
I mean, you do a lot of cowboy stuff in those boots?
What has this place done to me?
Do you do a lot of cowboy stuff? You do a lot of roping and riding?
No. Oh, no, I
Well,
just
then you're a poser, is what you're telling me. That's why I
I'm
don't
not.
own any cowboy boots. I don't do cowboy stuff.
Fine, I go on the horses, I do all that stuff,
No, you
sure.
don't.
No, I don't.
That's
I'm
what
not.
I'm saying.
Not a horse guy. But yes, please. My God, get Scruggs back their boots. This guy's, they don't want his stinky sandals.
Hey, guy's a scumbag. I hope he gets caught.
Right on.
If you're looking for boots, I don't know if I've ever mentioned boots on the Scruggs read, but guess what? They have an incredible selection of cowboy boots. So if you're looking for a new pair of boots and you're willing to pay for them, go see our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know and the people to trust. If you are trying to buy or sell land right now, they can certainly make that happen for you. If it's a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, they have the connections. They'll put everything in place and help you make that sale. But if you're just trying to manage your own land, your own resources, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that. They're just a phone call away. They're experts in their field. You can make them experts in your field. Give them a call today at 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, earlier today, I caught up with John Blau. He is the new LSU beat writer for the Baton Rouge Advocate, friend of Stefan Krajcnik, I found out. So that's always good.
Yeah.
That's good to know. And like I said, LSU, such an interesting team, maybe the most interesting team in college football for this upcoming season. So let's get a quick look at the Tigers. As you know, all of our interviews on this show brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. And if you are looking to recover, or you're somebody that works out hard, you're putting in the work in the gym and on the track, you got to put in the work in recovery as well. All right, that's a non-negotiable if you want to stay at your best. And that's what our friends at Alora Modern Wellness can do for you. Whatever service you're looking for, they can take care of it. We're talking about stress relief, pain management, and much, much more. Visit their website at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of their services right there on the website. Or, of course, you can just give them a call, 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with John Blau of the Baton Rouge Advocate. John Blau is the new guy on the LSU beat. He took over for our good friend Wilson Alexander. He covers the Tigers for the Baton Rouge Advocate. This is his first time on the podcast, so welcome, John. And LSU, I mean, you stepped into a great situation here. Certainly the most interesting team in the country. But if we're just take strip away all the drama and everything else, what is this LSU team at its core?
I don't know. It's a mystery at this point. It's a lot of money invested. It's a lot of players with some big names. I mean, you talk about Sam Levitt and Jordan Seaton and Princewell Umanumelen. But at the end of the day, we haven't seen it all come together on the field. And so it's a spectacle right now, like you said. I mean, a lot of talk about Lane Kiffin. Pretty much all of SEC Media Days felt like it was about Lane Kiffin. So it's definitely a story, but what it actually is on the field, I guess we have to find out.
I see the talent on this team. The depth chart is littered with guys who will be playing in the NFL. My concern with LSU is, as a Mississippi State, covering Mississippi State, I watched Sam Levitt against Mississippi State. The two of the worst defenses in college football he played against, and he was not good. Neither one. I thought he was really rattled when he came to Starkville last year. Why do you think it was Levitt above all other quarterbacks that Kiffin was attracted to?
I mean, I don't know if it was above all.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
there's a Damon Williams thing before. They went to Levitt. So, yeah, obviously he's been to the college football playoff. He's definitely a guy who's aggressive and likes to take deep shots. I think Kiffin does like a playmaker at the same time. It is going to be interesting to see how he fits in Kiffin's system, because if you look at a guy like a Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, he takes a lot of what's given and he gets the ball out quickly. And it's going to be interesting to see if Levitt doesn't always try to go for the big play, which is kind of his instinct at times. And so, yeah, it is an interesting match. Obviously, I think all the recruiting services thought Levitt was one of the top, if not the top quarterback available. Obviously, Darian Mensa jumps in later, and maybe he's above. But, he's got an arm. He can run. I think, obviously, the running ability is something Kiffin likes too. But, yeah, whether he's going to fit and how he's going to play, I think, again, goes to the mystery part I was talking about.
On this LSU offensive line, outside of Jordan Seaton, is anything written in stone with those guys? That feels like that should be a lot of competition throughout preseason camp.
Yeah, again, I think one of the biggest question marks is that offensive line. Like you said, Seaton is locked in at right tackle, at left tackle, but at right tackle, Weston Davis had some ups and downs last year. I know Braylon Moore was a good player at times. I mean, I don't know how much of his struggles had to do with some of the other pieces in the offensive line, but that wasn't a very good offensive line last year. I mean, LSU could not run the football. And Lane Kiffin is somebody who emphasizes running the football. And so he absolutely needs that to come about. Ba is a transfer from Maryland they got, who I think plugs in at one of those guard spots, but they really still got to figure out one guard spot and whether Weston Davis is going to be that guy at right tackle. And so there's a couple spots there we'll be watching. I know Bo Bordelon is like a fifth year senior who's been in the program for a long time, who's been talked about as a guy who could play. Whether he's really up to that task, having not played a lot in his first 4 years, is going to be interesting to see.
LSU throughout the last, two, three decades, one thing they've been known for is just monster defensive linemen, guys who game-changing kind of guys. There are a couple of five-stars coming in, Deuce Geralds and Lamar Brown. Is that a group of guys that can make a difference for the Tigers this year?
Yeah, and that's, again, another question. And, Deuce Geralds is an interesting player. I'm working on a feature about him in the coming weeks. And, I covered Clemson previously, and Peter Woods was a guy that everybody – that I've been talking to compares him to either that or Aaron Donald. Obviously, Aaron Donald is a tall task. So let's not call him Aaron Donald.
Yeah, let's chill just a little bit. Yeah.
Slow down. But a guy who really is disruptive, gets off the ball quick, has strength. He's not the biggest guy in the world at the college level. I think he's like 6 foot one or two and 280 pounds, but he's going to be an interesting guy to watch because he could be somebody who really changes the complexion of that defensive line. Rich Anderson's one of the other five stars you talked about alluded to. He's a huge guy. I think Ed Orgeron compared him to Cortez Kennedy in terms of his skill set. Again, lots of names being thrown out here.
Big names, John.
Big guy who's going to plug the gaps for you. But again, a freshman. And then Lamar Brown is maybe the most interesting one. He was the number one player in that class for LSU. He's like He came in at like 6'4", 290 pounds, and they have him playing defensive end. So I don't know where he's at in terms of his body, but he's another guy that's probably gonna have to fill out that defensive line rotation. And so it's a defensive line again, talking about Prince Will and some of these other players. They have some talent there, but the defensive tackle position, especially, they really have to have some of those freshmen, I think, emerge to really have a really good defensive line.
Is offensive line the position group that you got the most concern about coming into the season, or is there another spot where you look at and you go, that's a question for me?
Yeah, I would say offensive line is top, for sure, just because of, again, those questions on the right side. But in the secondary, I would say, depth is a concern. I think they have some pretty good players there. And DJ Pickett, as a sophomore, is like a 6'4", 6'5" pterodactyl out there at cornerback. And PJ Woodland is a guy that a lot of people talk a lot about. And Ty Benefield, I think, is an excellent addition from Boise State at safety. He's being talked about as a top five prospect in the NFL draft next year. They've got some guys, but Anding, who's one of their corners, he got hurt before, in spring ball, so he's probably out for the year. And you don't really have a lot of proven guys at corner behind Pickett and Woodland. So I think as long as they stay healthy, the secondary is pretty good. But if anybody goes down, I think that's where you have some question marks.
When we talk about LSU, obviously the conversation is going to turn itself to Lane Kiffin at some point. I've enjoyed some of the revisionist history from Ole Miss people here in this state over the last few months, where they've tried to convince me the man never won any big games for the Rebels over the past few years. I've enjoyed that quite a bit. But that being said, this is a coach who has he's getting paid like a coach who has multiple national titles when he has none. That's a very fair thing to say. I don't think it's national title or bust. I think it was Jordan Rodgers who said that last week at SEC Media Days. I don't necessarily agree with that. If LSU's in the playoffs, all good for Kiffin and Lane in year one. But what happens if this is a 9-3 football team and they just miss out on the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how they look going 9-3. I mean, if you have some close games, some nail biters that really one play here or there could have turned it to 10-2, and all of a sudden you're in the playoff. And obviously, if they're playing well, towards the end of the season, I think you want to see them get better as the year goes on. But if they're 9-3 and it looked like they could have easily lost a couple other games, and some of those are blowouts, or if you lose on the road at Kentucky or Auburn or something like that, I think there could be consternation in the fan base. But yeah, I think you're correct with, like, 9-3, 10-2, make the playoff, hopefully. I think that gets the job done, especially with so many new pieces that you're trying to integrate, and you never know how it's going to work. But I do think, Indiana winning that national title, I mean, just being able to turn that thing around as quickly as they did, I think everybody thinks you're supposed to be able to do that. They don't appreciate the miracle that Cignetti pulled up there. And so yeah, I think that changes things, but I do think, realistically, just making the playoff, I think, is a step in the right direction.
I made a projection pick on my SEC, all SEC team at Media Days. I picked Harlan Berry third team because, as you just mentioned, and I feel like this gets lost all the time. If you ever really want to get Jacob Hester riled up, call that Lane Kiffin's offense a passing offense. It is not. It is a run-first offense. They want to run the football. Berry, I think, is going to have one of the best cracks at it as a former five-star player. Can he be a 1,000-yard rusher this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like you said, I mean, Lacy, I think, had the most carries of any running back in Division I
He did.
football last year. And so Lane Kiffin loves running the football. Our Harlan Berry's definitely, the most talented, maybe, but the guy who really emerged in the spring was Dylan Jones, who was a transfer from Wisconsin. He was a top 10 player in his class when he came out. He just had some injuries at Wisconsin, really, didn't had a had such a short season last year that he was ranked, I think, barely inside the top 80 transfers at his position. So everybody kind of forgot about him. But he really established himself in the spring as a guy who's just, a guy who works real hard. He's 5'11", 220. He's got some speed. He's got some strength. And so, I mean, he's a guy that might be kind of in that pole position right now to be the number one back. But that's pushing guys like Harlan Berry and Caden Durham and guys who are really talented players. And like you said, I think Barry's a really talented back. He's got a lot of speed. Obviously, can he's big play waiting to happen type of guy. So if he can kind of push and kind of show that, and obviously, again, it all depends on that offensive line, how it comes together, I think he could be a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think that's out of the question.
How mad are LSU fans that this Mississippi State game is at 11 a.m.? I know they got to be fuming about that.
Yeah, I don't think they like any games that are before what, 6:30 Central.
Yeah.
Night games only for
They'd
those
play
guys.
every game at 8 o'clock if you gave them the option. I really
Yeah,
truly believe
they
that.
need their time to get, pre-gamed, and
Right.
that takes all day.
You
So
don't have to drink all day if you don't stop drinking all night. That's what I
that's
would
true.
say. Just
Yeah.
power through. You'll be all right. I mean, they've done it before. So
Get started on a Thursday, I guess, maybe.
yeah,
Yeah.
but and they will. They absolutely will. John, really appreciate your time. We'll definitely have you back on the podcast this season when we get closer and closer to this game. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
I say it, and we did LSU a few weeks ago, and I had the Tigers, I think, 10-2, and I think they'll be a playoff team. But man, am I not sold on Sam Levitt? I'm just not. I got to see it in action, I guess.
No, I'm not either, especially if that game against Mississippi State, he played like he was Sam Darnold seeing ghosts out there.
Yeah.
He was not good. And I don't think he was good for the majority of last year. Now, granted, he had some injuries. A lot better in that playoff run they had with Cam Scataboo, but I think that says more about Scataboo's college career than it does Levitt's, because he was, especially in that game against Texas that they should have won, and he was an animal. That I think that's the only reason really he got drafted as high as he did. But yeah, I'm not sold on Sam Levitt either. They gave him a lot of money, which I didn't realize. They gave him what, $4.5 million? Four
Something
million
like
dollars.
that, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. I'm not sold on him either. I'm not either, Brian. But
But that
Kiffin.
being said, there's so much talent on this football team that I just feel like they're going to be. And Kiffin's a good coach.
He's a good quarterback coach as well. You got to
Yeah,
think Corral,
he'll elevate them. Yeah.
Dart, and then 1 year with Trinidad, he literally found him out of nowhere. He's good at developing quarterbacks. Like
He
Derek
is.
Stevens is a
So
good.
they'll win games this year. There's no question about that. State's best thing that they have going for them in this game is that it's 11 a.m. And sometimes the
Absolutely.
Tigers are sleepy. The crowd is sleepy there. That's what you've got going for you. Now that said, and we talked about it, yesterday, I think, if State puts things together, and they would, likely at the best case scenario, they're 4-1, right? They go 4-0, but then they lose to Alabama. You can go into this game and feel confident that you can at least stay in it and possibly have a chance to win. But if you're 2-3 playing this game, or you're 3-2, well, it's just going to be what it is. And State is not as historically as you might imagine. Not had a ton of success in Baton Rouge through the decades, and of course has had even less success against Lane Kiffin in his time at Mississippi State, so or his time in the SEC. So we'll just have to, I'll have to wait and see how it gets there. But as we sit here right now, if you told me LSU is a double digit favorite, I'm not going to sneeze at that.
No, I'm not gonna sneeze at that either. But yeah, they'll be a good team. But the thing about LSU, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of the gates a little slow.
Really?
They've got well, yeah, but you got to think there's what 90% of the team is transfers. That's an exaggeration, but I mean, you got to think they have a
It's a
lot of
there's a lot of
players,
transfers, though. You're not wrong.
a lot of good players, but they haven't played together yet. I mean, that week one game against Clemson, I don't think very highly of Clemson because they're still stuck in 2017 where the NIL didn't exist and Dabo Swinney's a crybaby. But that game is going to be difficult. I know it's in Tiger Stadium, but you've got all these moving parts, new quarterback, new offensive line, defenders, and just everything is so different. The only really familiarity I feel like is the weeks coming back. I guess Daughtry and Princewell have also played for Kiffin, but like these guys are you bring in
Well,
a
they
whole.
played for Kiffin, but they didn't play for LSU's. They didn't play for Blake Baker.
That's what I'm saying. It's only the coach. You got
Yeah.
a lot of new guys. I mean, Indiana basketball last year, completely the entire roster was new transfers. They were better the second half of the year than first, but they stumbled out of the gate. I think that's true for a lot of these college football teams that might start slow. I still think the Tigers are going to figure it out. They got way too much talent on that roster to not be, pretty good this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they, stumble a little bit at the beginning. That doesn't mean they'll lose, but that means they could struggle and maybe win these games closer than people think.
But you have them losing to Ole Miss, right?
Yes, I do.
And I have the opposite of that. I have them beating Ole Miss. So,
I think the reason I have
but I have
that,
them losing the next week to Texas A&M. So,
yeah, I think I have them winning that one.
you do.
Yeah, I the reason I
It's
think.
funny you say like you. I've got you could start slow. You've got them 10-2.
No, I'm telling you, but starting slow means not losing. Like, what if they beat
They
Clemson
just.
by 3 or
Yeah,
something.
I see what you're getting at. I see
You
what you're
know,
getting at.
Ole Miss will be another close game regardless. Both those teams are really good. Like, we'll see. I don't know. They'll be an interesting watch this year. Them and State, you'd be arguably the two most interesting teams to watch early in the season.
I can't help but agree with you there. All right. I'm not sure what tomorrow's show is going to be, but we will have one. And then after that, we will record a show on Sunday for Monday. But then I'm on vacation and I'm not going to be here. So we will not have podcasts the week of August the 3rd until August the, I guess, the 10th will be the next one we do after that. I will be working next week for the for Super Talk for one day. I will do the Knot Fall Camp tour for our trip down to Hattiesburg. We'll meet up with all the coaches and supporters of the Golden Eagles. Go ahead and let you guys know the Knot Fall Camp Tour will be in Starkville on August the 11th, 3 to 6. Obviously, Sports Talk Mississippi will be live at the Landing. And we are hopeful to have a lot of Mississippi State flavor there with us as well. I'll get you more details as I have them, but you can go ahead and mark your calendar. We'll have some stuff to give away as well. Last year, we were able to give away some great stuff from Pearl River Resort, from Genteel Apparel. I'll have more details very, very soon for you guys. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.